Okay, everyone, we'll bring the meeting to order at 6 o'clock. Welcome to the Finance Committee of the Whole, meeting number 3, September 7th, 2021. I need a motion to adopt the agenda. Councillor Stevenson moves, Mayor Bell seconds. Any comments or questions to the agenda? Seeing none, we'll vote with hands. All in favor? Motion carries. Thank you. We'll move right into delegations. We have two delegations this evening. Ed Romanowski, President and COO of New Star Properties, followed by Chris West, the Executive Director of Baffin Regional Chamber of Commerce. If Mr. Romanowski would like to come up to the microphone, I'll pass the floor over to you for your presentation. Welcome. Thank you for coming. It's nice to see you in town right now. And if you press the speak button there, I'll pass the mic over to you momentarily.
Today, so I listened to the instructions. So, good evening, Unakut, Your Worship, Mayor Bell, Chair of the Finance Committee of Council, City Councillors, and the City Administration. Thank you for providing me an opportunity to speak to the topic residential tax inequity in the City of Iqaluit and support Council's immediate actions to right this inequity. I'm just going to highlight a few things from my report. You've all had a chance to review it, and just add a few other comments as a result of the City Administration's report that came out on Friday. So as you know, there are two classes of Iqaluit citizens when it comes to residential tax assessment and taxation in the city. Those citizens that live in residential units that are assessed as residential and pay residential mill rates, and those citizens that live in residential units that are assessed as commercial and pay much higher commercial taxes on their residences. There's a further inequity in that multifamily residents pay a higher mill rate, actually 40% higher than those in low-density residential units. However, today we are only here to ensure all multifamily units are taxed in the same manner. I am here to support the city in a decision to stop assessing and taxing all residential units as commercial and to have the same mill rate for all types of residential units, providing there is general equity in the services provided to them by the city. Equitable treatment of citizens is one of the basic principles in taxation, and we are happy that the city will make changes in 2021 to ensure that the citizens of Iqaluit will be treated the same starting in 2022 when it comes to the assessment and taxation of multifamily residences. And I should highlight that the basic principle here is that the property taxes paid for a residential unit in a mixed-use building should be the same as the property taxes for a residential unit in an all-residential multifamily building. So if there's a small store at the base of a residential building, suddenly all the residential units become taxed as commercial. Well, if that store didn't exist, all of them would be taxed as residential. Obviously, all of us agree. And in fact, there's no argument or rationale presented to dispute this basic principle of equity in taxation. Everyone appears to be in agreement with it. So given this principle, then it's a matter of what should be done to correct the inequity that currently exists. And that is, residents in mixed-use buildings pay 54.2% higher property taxes than their fellow citizens in all residential multifamily buildings. That's the difference. That's the inequity. So as we all know, there is a severe housing crisis in Iqaluit. Ensuring equitable assessment and taxation of all residential units in Iqaluit is one of many actions to be taken by the city on an urgent basis to assist in reducing development and operating costs for all types of housing in the city. And over the past few years, the hyperinflation, this is double digit or more inflation, in the cost of building residential units and their operation have greatly reduced the feasibility of building more housing in the city. We all know there is a huge cost problem to be addressed. So to enable more housing to be built and to reduce the cost escalation of rentals and homeownership, we must do everything possible to reduce costs and also ensure there is a very good environment for investment in housing. So the best option at this time, well, what is it? And as an interim solution, option 5 of the 7 options presented by the city administration appears to be the best solution to creating tax fairness or reinstituting what existed for nearly all multifamily residential units in the city of Iqaluit prior to bylaw 861 that was passed by council in August of 2018. Should be noted that the city's assessors already break out the areas of each type of use within the city's multi-use buildings. So rather than have several classifications for tax purposes and the more complex solutions as presented in the city's report, the council should consider using the assessment information that already exists to tax multi-use buildings by each use classification within the building. In other words, the ideal solution could be put in place right now for 2022. So if a building has 1/3 of it that's commercial, that 1/3 would be taxed at the commercial tax rate, commercial mill rate. And the other 2/3 are residential, then it would be taxed at the multifamily mill rate. Very simple. And if we want to keep it simple, that's what we should do. We also suggest that at this time, and assuming that the pro rata assessment of multi-uses in a building is ultimately and can be right away the most desirable way of resolving inequities amongst uses for property tax purposes, it would be appropriate for council to pass yet another resolution. And that is to request the government of Nunavut to amend the Nunavut Property and Assessment Act to support mixed-use properties to be split into 2 or more assessment classifications in proportion to the respective areas within buildings. This would allow mill rate for tax purposes, as I just explained, to be established by the city for each use, as it presently does, and apply to each of the different uses within the building. This change in legislation would also be very beneficial to many other communities in Nunavut. So the rationale for proceeding with that by the government of Nunavut is certainly there. So with that, thank you very much. Really excited to see council moving on correcting this inequity. And Nakarmik, thank you. Back over to the chair.
Thank you, Ed. Very much appreciated. I'll open up the floor to any questions from councillors. Any comments or questions to the delegation? Mayor Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So clearly, obviously I sit on the mayor's task force on affordable housing, and we did see this as a major error. It was done in 2018. The reason it was done is unknown, but we need to be fair. We talk about the fairness of our taxation everywhere. I agree with you, and one of the things I was looking at was charging different. And we now know that the Government of Nunavut's Act doesn't allow that to happen, which is unfortunate, and we should be trying to get to make sure that we're allowed to do what we want to do with our tax base. Because we're the only tax base in Nunavut, we should be allowed to do whatever tax base we want to, and I think that we should be looking forward to that. So I'm glad that this item is up. We have a lot of information that's coming up earlier. Sorry it's so hot in here. It's like boiling right now. But thank you for coming, Ed, and I look forward to seeing what's going to be talked about later.
Thank you, Mayor.
Any other comments or questions from council? Councillor Nuttall.
Good evening. We heard we have a simple solution here, and he mentioned 50.3%. We can make a simple. We have a simple option to opt here. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Nata. Councillor Awa.
Chairperson, this question I have here. I believe there's different types of houses here in Iqaluit. For example, the quick stop in Apex Road. It's a store, and it's also occupied as a rent. Someone renting it in the same unit. A group daycare is also a daycare, but the second floor, third floor are apartments, and Arctic Survival is also a store, and above them there's a house also or being rent. If I am wrong, let me tell me. The Apex Quick Stop, I believe, belongs to the Northern Company, Akrup Daycare. Those people living in that unit are staff members, but they don't own the own the building. Same as for the Arctic Survival Store, it's a store, and I believe the owners live there. So where's the differences that we see in regards to these three examples that I'm using? For example, I'll mention just one.
Apex Road Quick Stop.
The Apex Road Quick Stop. It belongs to the Northern or Northwest Company, and we get them to pay taxes because it's a store. And perhaps the staff that are occupying units in those buildings, would they be required to pay taxes as well? Is that how I understand it?
Generally, the owner of the property is the one that would pay the taxes. For the specific properties that you're questioning there, we could probably talk a little bit more about that when we get into the recommendations on potential solutions to this. You know, I know the daycare itself are generally exempted from taxation for the daycare portion currently. That's another issue we're discussing later on here this evening. For the Northmart store and some of the other retail locations with residences on top, some of them are highlighted in our package as being already identified as mixed use. So if, you know, option five that we'll be looking at later on is taken into account going forward, a portion of that that real estate would be taxed as commercial and a portion would be taxed as residential in the future, regardless of who lives there, if we do make a change. It doesn't matter if it's staff or rented for the public. Does that make sense? Okay. Councillor Akumali.
Thank you for coming. And we support, or are glad that you do support the growth of the community. We don't often see a lot of businesses coming before us, so we're glad that you're here. My question relates on a larger picture, not really related to Iqaluit. As it relates to Nunastar and the properties, do they have properties outside of Iqaluit, either in Arctic Bay or other places, or Greece Fjord? Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, thank you very much for the question. So we only have properties here in Iqaluit and some property in Yellowknife. That is the only two communities that we operate in. And we have plans to actually add another 350 to 400 units here in Iqaluit. And I reviewed earlier with both the administration and also with the mayor our designs for initially about within this next few years, building 160 more units, and within the next 5 to 10 years, the full additional 350 or more units. So we're very interested, but the biggest thing that we're fighting right now is cost and hyperinflation in almost every aspect of our operations. And it's becoming more expensive, more costly for us to staff everything and anything that can be done to keep those costs in check, as it is for the city, the same problem that the city has, then clearly we'll be able to do more in the way of housing going forward. And we're trying to keep our rent increases to lower numbers, so in the single digits, but actually our costs are increasing 10, 20% per year. Insurance, for instance, has doubled in the past 3 years. And the obviously when property taxes for 8-story and 6-story building went up 54.2%, we were not able to pass all that cost increase, which averaged about $100 per month per unit. So $1,200 per year, we were not able to pass that cost on to the tenants.
Thank you. And another question, I'd like more clarification as it relates to the Nunavut government. I didn't really understand what you said, that what to do with the Nunavut government.
Right. So thank you very much, Councillor, and through the chair. So under the current act, under Section 16.2 of the current legislation, under the Nunavut Property and Assessment Act, here's what it actually says. Subject to the regulations where two or more uses are being made or are proposed to be made in an assessed property, the assessor shall assign a property class to the assessed property based on the predominant use being made or proposed to be made of the assessed property. That's actually what the legislation says. Now, we've actually have a bylaw in place that is not congruent with that, but nonetheless, that's what the legislation says. So in the case, I'll give you the example of the CBC building. So we have Embrace Life, and we have CBC on the main floor of that building, building 351. So right now, and two floors above that is residential. So the predominant use is residential. So it would have been taxed as residential, even though the CBC was on the main floor and Embrace Life, which is obviously providing services to the entire region, to the entire territory, is that is the commercial use. So what happens right now, because of bylaw, the bylaw that was passed by City Council in 2018, that building in its entirety is now taxed as commercial. Now, what we've proposed and what we're suggesting to Council is that you could go ahead and pass an action to actually go ahead and tax or assess and tax properties on a proportionate basis. So in the case of the CBC building, the one-third floor, the one floor would be taxed as commercial, and the two other floors, which are residential, would be taxed as residential. Makes sense. So that could be one action. And in terms of the legislation, what we're asking is the Nunavut government to pass legislation, to amend the legislation, to support the mixed-use approach, which is what I just outlined. Because right now, the legislation doesn't support it. The city doesn't get a fair deal that way, because the CBC building, under its legislation, would be taxed as a predominant use, all residential, rather than split one-third commercial and two-thirds residential. The solution that we came up with through council in 2018 wasn't a good solution either. So you can't make something better by having two wrongs. Two wrongs don't make a right. So we're suggesting let's go with proportional taxation and fix it, and make sure that the legislation is changed at the same time. So thank you very much. I apologize to the interpreter in case I've gone too fast. Thank you.
Councillor Awa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I understand, but I have a question. Perhaps this is what is outlining these homeowners, if the tax paying amount is decreased and those people are living in larger units, perhaps they're trying to decrease rent. People that are renting, and they're trying to decrease the rental taxpayers, right, Chairperson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, so technically what's happening is because commercial rate is more expensive than the multi-use rate, multi-unit rate, which is also more than the residential rate. So at your house that you own, you pay a certain amount every year. When the unit has, you know, I think it's three and above or four and above, it's called a multi-use, which then is a different rate, and it's higher than the residential. And then the commercial is way higher than all of those. Right now, what's happening is the multi-use housing is paying the commercial rate. And that's what they're trying to do, is make it cheaper for the residents. Because although they're renting and they don't technically pay the city taxes, they still pay that through their rent. Their rent covers the taxes that, you know, every other business in Nunastar, and, you know, we heard from from MP REIT, we heard from QOC, this is affecting also, what is it, the Inuit Arctic Survival? The same thing, they have that small store, and then the apartments above all pay commercial taxes because they have commercial on the ground floor.
I have a couple comments and questions on things I'm going to raise when we actually discuss the matter that I think it's important to hear from you at this point in time on, because you won't be sitting at that table as we discuss them later on. I support the concept of tax equity and changes that are going to be made here. The fact of the matter is, incorporating option 5 is estimated to require a 5.5% tax increase across the board to make up the revenue that will be lost from that. So I'm just wondering, you know, as a developer, an important member of the community's housing solution, how do we sell that to the rest of the community? That by giving, in most cases, fairly large corporations a tax break right now is going to result in a 5.5% tax increase across the board. At the same time, realizing that every $10,000 less in taxes that multi-residential units need to pay at an 8% cap rate increases the value of that property by $125,000. I'm just, you know, we need tax equity. It needs to happen. This is going to be a really tough sell to our community. And I'm just like, is there any way that you can address that or help us address that going forward? The fact that we're going to need to pass on these savings so that we can continue to operate as how do we pass on your savings if we make this change onto the rest of our community so that we as a city can keep operating?
Mr. Chairman, excellent question. Number one is, and as a banker, you fully understand, I don't think we're trying to save the money. We're trying to reduce the costs that are increasing at a phenomenally high rate. To so suddenly say, well, the tax increase will just be eaten up or gobbled up as profit by us is a very bad misrepresentation, because we're dealing with costs that have increased far greater than any cost that we could have passed on to the renters. Hence, the problem in Iqaluit. If you can't attract developers to build buildings, and we're committed to Iqaluit, we've been here for 52 years. Our main investment is in this city, more than any other developer. We want to build more, but we can't get loans from banks like the one you work for or any other banks if the margins that we have are thinner than any other investment in North America and at a much higher risk. So we're trying to bring those costs down. We already have the highest costs in Canada to build residential development. We build residential development for about $470 to $500 a square foot. Nunavut Housing Corp. says they build it for $600 to $700 a square foot. Without the development community, who's going to solve the housing problem in Iqaluit? Are we just going to ask for money from the federal government and from the government of Nunavut, and suddenly they're just going to build the houses and just give it to everybody for free? That's a dream. We know that that is not the solution. We are interested in building in Iqaluit, but only if there's equity. We cannot sell to anybody in equity. Why? Nobody here or in the administration has been able to explain. So in spite of the 5.54% estimate, which is probably very high because we have to question the denominator, in spite of that, explain to the residents out there why taxes for a multifamily residential project that has a small store or a single or full level of commercial development on the main floor, and right next door is a multifamily residential property with no store on the main floor. So this property here with no store on the main floor pays residential rates, and the guy next door, literally, and it could be the same owner, it could be Nunavut, it could be Nunastar owning both of them. This one we pay residential rates, and this one we pay 54.2% more. Explain to me why that inequity makes sense. Nobody has been able to explain it. Nobody. Everybody agrees that that inequity must be corrected. Correcting, making tax equity is your pitch to the consumer, to the citizens of Iqaluit, that we want fair taxation. Who can argue with that? Nobody. So if the implication is 5.54% across the board, we also pay that. It isn't just to the benefit of Nunastar, it's to the benefit of the entire community. There are 30 multi-use buildings in Iqaluit. There was a wrong decision made in 2018. All we're doing is correcting that. That's all we're doing. We're correcting a wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. So making the wrong decision today to say we'll maintain the inequity and we'll pass one of the other options, like option 2A, B, or C, or 3, or 4. And 5 doesn't totally correct the inequity, but it's a good interim solution. But to say that, well, we'll keep the inequity and we've made a bad decision before. We created this 54.2% increase. And we'll make another decision that will keep that inequity. And we're going to make two wrongs to make a right. Where in this world does two wrongs make a right? Nowhere. So why am I emotional about it? Because I have to account to my tenants as to why your rents increases. And I told them the truth. And if you look at our letters that we provide to our tenants every year, we explain what costs go up. We're accountable for that, just as you are. I can't just willy-nilly increase the rents by 10%. Now, maybe we can because there's no available housing. But it doesn't make sense from a long-term business point of view. We're in this community already for 52 years. We're going to be here for another 50 years. So why would we do that?
Just going to stop you there. Just breathing. I don't want you to think I disagree with you because I think we do need to address this.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think it's important to hear your...
Yeah. Anyways, that's just helping. I'm passionate about it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And I fully expected that. I'm well aware of the insurance increases, especially over the last few years. I'm well aware of the water rate increases, the property tax increases, the other things that the city has generated in additional user costs. They're, like you say, hyperinflationary. There's no question about that across our housing spectrum,
right,
within the community. I just wonder, in comparison to that, can you talk about the rate increases that you have passed on to tenants in over the last 5 years, say, not the life history of your properties, but just as a comparison between the cost increases that you've incurred, if you can compare that to the rate increases that you have passed on.
Right. Very good question. Thank you very much, Mr. Sherman. Our average increase, I looked at this actually over the past 5 years, and it isn't a planted question. I tell everybody, it isn't a planted question. So our average increase over the past 5 years has been about 2.6 or 2.7% average per annum increase. And our average cost increase has been about 9.5, 9.6% average per year. So that deficit makes it very difficult for us to finance new projects. So the banks, when we're going to them, like RBC and CIBC, which are the main banks that finance us, when we go to them and we're showing a decreasing margin, there aren't many people that are happy, right? And how do you then build new homes? And the cost to build have increased exponentially as well. So it's not only the operating costs like water bills, insurance, and property taxes, it's also been on the construction side as well. We're doing everything possible. If you were to talk to our staff, our focus in our projects is energy efficiency, water use. We're doing everything we can to reduce the flow of water and the waste of water. So we're doing all those things possible. Amy would be quite familiar with one of the other issues that we're dealing with as well, not to be painful, but you know, we are doing what we can to keep those costs down. And we're hopeful that over time that will be better. But we have a longer term view in the community. We're not out to make as much money in the shortest period of time possible and leave town and sell off our assets. We've been here already and we're going to continue to be here.
Thank you very much for that. Councilor Arwa?
We're going to make it work out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looking at recommendations and the options under option 5, perhaps if we can look at the other options as well.
I just would briefly, when we get to 4A, we'll look at the different options.
4A,
is there a question specific for the delegate right now, or is this something that we'll discuss in 4A when we get there?
P.
Perhaps I will ask later then. Thank you.
Any other questions from the floor before we move on? Seeing none. Mr. Romanowski, thank you very much for your presentation and your correspondence to date. We will be discussing this item later on, obviously, in the agenda. You're welcome to stay if you'd like.
Thank you.
I'll invite Chris West, the Executive Director of the Baffin Regional Chamber of Commerce, to the mic.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kuyanamik. Your Worship, Mayor Bell, Chair of the Finance Committee, City Council, City Councilors and Administration, the Baffin Regional Chamber of Commerce is a nonpartisan organization established to foster, promote and improve business development in a responsible manner while providing value to its membership through benefits, partnerships, communications, advocacy, and initiatives in the Kikitani region of Nunavut. In a recent board meeting of the BRCC, the board had discussed a discussion regarding residential taxation tax assessment mixed-use properties, bylaw number 861. The Board of Directors feel that this bylaw will ultimately create higher operating costs for construction companies and landlords, which in turn will affect pricing for units for residential tenants. This may also seen as a deterrent for future mixed-use development. The Board of Directors understand that the need for the City of Iqaluit not to lose revenue, however, suggests that the property tax assessment be used specifically for the building, meaning commercial space be charged the commercial rate and residential units be charged the residential rate. As we all know, Iqaluit's real estate rates have greatly increased over the last number of years, and in some cases making home ownership out of reach for many residents, and such an increase in a tax rate is not fair to put on residential tenants living in a mixed-use building. We would ask that the committee ask council to rescind the bylaw and recreate a bylaw more favorable for the residents of Nunavut.
Thank you, Mr. West. I would certainly appreciate your organization's help in lobbying the territorial government to allow us to make a change that would allow exact proportional taxation based on the use, whether it's, you know, our regional chamber here and the other chambers across the territory. I think it'd be a worthwhile cause to get all of you involved in that effort. The more tools we have in the toolbox, the more tools any other municipality in the territory that wants to become a city has in the future, I think would benefit everybody. So I know I'd appreciate that. Any questions for Mr. West from the floor? Councillor Awa?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the chamber, perhaps if this was to proceed, that perhaps the tenants can see a reduction in rental fees and a reduction in cost at the store from the rent cost, perhaps the business community would pass on the savings for the reduction in the tax. Thank you.
Would you like to respond to that, Mr. S?
No, I totally agree with Mr. Awa.
Excellent. Councillor Nuttak?
Thank you. Good evening. The issue of taxation, when you own your own home, looking at the numbers, what I have to pay for my home to keep it running. They don't look at those costs when they increase these costs on us as homeowners. We struggle to meet the ends, to maintain our home, and there's very little subsidy for homeowners as well. And when you look at the finances, that the home and the different things and the things that you need to delay in purchasing and the things you need to purchase right away are issues that you face each day as a homeowner. So it's not really a question, but I bring that up as an issue of cost. It's not really a cost, but it's a cost of living issue that we know when increases happen that we feel them as homeowners and we feel where you're coming from. And that's what I wanted to say. I agree we need to talk about this some more and that we need to seek resolution on this issue. I'm glad to hear that you came and you spoke to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Nata. Councillor Cumberley.
Chris.
Thank you for coming, Chris. I am not a business owner. I'm not quite clear as to this presentation. I've seen property owners. For example, at the Tumit Plaza, it's a carving purchasing place or craft purchasing place, and there's Ice Wireless business situated there, and at the HTA there's Northwestel Company and Fishers there. For example, it's the term in English is incubator. I just want a little bit of explanation as to how this is approached. Thank you.
Go ahead, Mayor Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Councillor Kumlik, the Tubumu Plaza is all commercial space. There's no apartments above it. And then I'm not sure about the NTO building, if they have apartments above theirs or not, but they pay commercial rate. All the apartments in the building. Sorry, it's because of the back feed that needs to be further away. But I believe that they would pay commercial.
Yeah, I don't think they're considered incubators as such.
And that would be a economic development strategic planning meeting item separate from the taxation issue we're dealing with tonight as well. Definitely something to look at and a point of interest for the future. Any more questions from the floor before we move on with our agenda? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. West, for presenting. I hope to see more of you and our local chamber as well.
Thank you.
Particularly with our Economic Development and Strategic Planning Committee. Again, Mr. Romanowski, thank you as well. We'll just move along with the agenda. I will jump back very quickly in my eagerness to get to our delegations. I did skip declaration of interest number two. I should probably ask, are there any declarations of interest from the floor this evening before we start making decisions? Seeing none, we can move on. Get right into deferred business and tabled items / new items. Request for decision, mixed use tax classification review. Now we can get into the meat and potatoes of the issue. I believe Allison, what's Allison's job title?
Director of Finance.
Senior Director of Corporate Services. It's written down right in front of me. We'll present. Go ahead, Allison.
Chair. You have before you this evening a request for decision on the mixed-use tax classification. The one thing I will point out is that the options here are based on the paid at the tax act as it is right now. If there would be anything not included in the current tax act, that is not reflected here. You have the request for decision plus your spreadsheet, which shows you the impact of the various options that are there for your discussion. I believe the two representatives have covered basically what is in the proposal summary, which is to take a look at bylaw 861, which is not, again, a part of this RFD. It is something council could consider. And I'm just going to briefly go through the different options that have been prepared for you and a little bit of the rationale behind it. Option one could be to maintain the status quo. The reason for maintaining the status quo would be possibly the timing to change things right now may not be right. I state that because with the pandemic, it has and is causing businesses to lose money, operational costs to increase, and homeowners also face similar financial barriers to providing the essentials of life to their families. Repair and maintenance and construction costs have risen, and there is still reduced travel into and out of Nunavut. Increasing rates for homeowners, not for an increase in services, but to allow lower mixed-use mill rates for companies, many of whom are not Iqaluit-based, would put an increased financial burden on this sector of our community. One option for maintaining the status quo. Options 2A, B, and C provide an option to increase the mill rate in categories to allow a decrease, a new mill rate, one category mill rate for what is currently mixed use properties. Option 3 is recognizing that there is split use, and it's a way to introduce split use without violating the current rules of the Property Tax Act. Option 4 and 5 are similar options. They just provide a lower tax rate for the mixed use buildings. On all of these, there is a necessity to increase the tax rate across the board to maintain the revenue level that the city requires to operate and provide these essential services. And that's what is shown on the spreadsheet that you have. There is, as you'll notice, no recommendation from administration on this. If you were to ask for administration's recommendation, it would be at this time to retain status quo and then look at possibly bylaw 861, lobbying the government and introducing a tax rate that would allow for split use taxes, that is two taxes on one building. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison. Comments or questions to start? Would anybody like to? Councillor Awa.
We're going to make sure we're up.
Thank you.
We're going to make Allison.
Chairman, thank you, Allison. It was mentioned earlier to one of the delegates that was here. The Nunavut government has a law in place where we cannot change what we do, and that might be the work that we have to do to correct this situation before we can correct our own situation, which seems to be that is our required strategy. Thank you.
It's not that we can't do anything, it's that we can't do the perfect representation. We absolutely can create new tax classes to make this situation more equitable right now. We can't just say that we can't have two different classes of taxation on one property because of the government of Nunavut's law. So we can't say, as the delegate was mentioning earlier, that because this property is 50% commercial and 50% residential, that we tax it as 50% and 50%. We have to create our own classes, which is why the recommendations under number option 3, 4, and 5 recommend a range for each. We would create three or four new property tax classes. So if it's up to a certain percentage residential, it's one mill rate, which would actually be a blended rate between the two. So we're kind of artificially creating tax classes to get around the limitation the government of Nunavut has put in place. So we can address this inequity. We have the option, we have the authority and the ability to do that. As a perfect solution down the road, we should lobby the territorial government, as far as I'm concerned, to make the change so that we can tax properties to the specific square foot ratio of their properties, however much is commercial, however much is residential. But there's measures we can take right now to address this if council so chooses. Any comments, questions from the floor before I say a few things? Seeing none. I would like to have a motion tonight to gather the relevant information we need to crunch the numbers of the actual impact of what option 5 would present to us. I don't, based on the information we have in front of us, I'm not comfortable going to council for final approval on this change. We need more information before we can do it. Personally, I do support moving towards what's presented in option 5 here to address this in the short term. There's a lot of work that needs to go into this on the administration side to get the information we would need. The property tax assessments that are completed by the GN assessor break down the number of square feet in every property in this community by what purpose they're used for. And by aggregating all of that data, there's a way that we could find out what the actual financial impact of this is going to be. So we can assess what that actual dollar cost is going to be, determine how we make up for that, if it's over a longer period of time, if it's a large hit in a short time. Do we consider what future development potential is there to recover these costs in the future as well? There's on the base of it, my recommendation from the chair today would be to refer this back to administration on with the request to complete the work required to properly assess the exact financial impact of this and what it would mean to our revenues for the year, if option 5 as prepared in here was created. That would be my ask as the chair for today. But I don't get to make motions today. So, Mayor Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm prepared to move basically what you've asked for. The only thing I would stipulate is that in the interest, I know how busy our staff are, and we can only change taxes one time a year, which means that, lobbying the government for the mixed use won't be happening until at least 2023. We understand that, development community understands that. And in the interest of fairness, I do agree. I believe that we need to do more work and the option number 5 be brought back to us with more information. But in the interest of moving forward, if administration cannot bring back the information prior to our tax change in January, that we prepare for the option number 5 for 2022 year, with the understanding that we will be lobbying the government with the help of our business community for the tax change, for the Property and Assessment Act change for 2023. And then at that year, we will be prepared to, pass a further equity taxes across the board for everybody. And I would move that.
Is there a seconder? Deputy Mayor seconds. I will say that a 1 year hit with the full financial impact is not going to break the city. It will be inconvenient for sure, and a potential loss of revenue. If the final work isn't done by the end of the year when we have to decide on what the taxation policies are going to be for 2022, we can use best estimates at that point in time to as we do every year. Nothing's ever set in stone when we set tax policy. It's always best estimates. So we can use the information gathered to decide what rates to implement for next year. So just before we take further questions, is the motion clear enough for administration, given what we talked about? Amy?
Okay. That staff gather the financial information to proceed with the implementation of option 5. Further, that if the information is not available prior to the 2022 budget, that Mayor Bell, help me out. I have the lobby part.
Sorry.
That it be implemented the following year.
That option number 5 would be implemented for 2022.
For 2022.
With the understanding that either way, we are allowing the government to change the Tax Act for 2023.
And that was seconded by the deputy mayor. Are there any comments or questions to that? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. May I add some definition to that, some clarity to the lobby, the GN for the Tax Act, to change the requirement for classifying properties for predominant use. So something to that effect.
Can I ask that get removed from this motion, and I would be more than happy to entertain a separate, specific recommendation to council to make that motion. Is that acceptable to the mover and seconder?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to suggest the same thing, and I wanted to correct myself. I said Tax Act. We all know we're talking about the Nunavut Assessment, Property and Assessment Act.
Madam Deputy Mayor, is that amenable to you? Thank you. Nice and clear now? All right. Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Chair. I guess in looking at the implications of of the change, we know that implementing option 5 will have a large impact. Changing of PATA to allow for this will also have the same or most likely greater impact, because it's only what we're asking them to do by changing PATA is to allow us to refine the amounts to the exact amounts of each building, right? The percentages of each building. Whereas in option 5, we're talking about sort of approximate estimations. I wonder two things. One, why option 5, and this can be for later because obviously we're pushing this to later in a way. Why option 5 doesn't have more categories? There's no limit to the categories we can set. We can become more specific by having more categories, which creates increased fairness, not less fairness. So, you know, at the moment the options are 3, there could be 5. I'm not sure why there were 3 chosen. Maybe there's a reason. So that is a question. And secondly, I guess I don't know if everyone knows, but PATA is going to be on the agenda 2 days from now. Not with this issue being brought, obviously, but for other major issues, because the Act is extremely problematic and needs a lot of repair. Thanks.
Absolutely. And myself, I'd like to see as many as 10 classes, like at 10% intervals. 90, everything from 90-10 to 10-90, all the way through. That does the most to get as close to what a resolution of PATA would actually be. But Amy does have some more information on the PATA changes coming.
Just briefly, this is Bill 55, and this bill will not affect the city. It's more about taxation, the GN's ability to tax the mines, and it also addresses some improvements for the for taxation of Inuit-owned lands and such. But it, I'm told, it doesn't affect the city.
Thank you, Amy. And just for my own clarification, is this motion a recommendation to council to direct administration, or can this committee direct administration to do the work? Okay, so it's a motion to recommendation to council to instruct administration to do the requested work. Any other comments or questions from the floor at this point? In that case, I will call for a vote to the motion. All in favor, please raise your hands. Unanimous. Thank you very much. Just flip back to my agenda quickly. And 4B, request for decision, policy for assessing property tax exemption, application and evaluation process for property tax relief. Over to Allison again. Oh, sorry, Mayor. We do need a second motion for that, for the GN. Would you like to make that, Mr. Mayor?
I would make that motion. So we already know the motion is, yes. And someone needs to second it.
Councillor Kumulik seconds. Thanks, the motion is to recommend to council to lobby the territorial government to make the required changes to PATA regarding property assessments. Comments or questions? Not expecting any to that one. Seeing none. Vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Sorry about that. Just tack that on to the end. Now over to Allison for the policy for assessing property tax exemption, application, and evaluation.
Mr. Chair, you have before you the, as directed by Council on February the 2nd, a draft policy for those seeking tax exemption or tax relief has been created. And for your information, I provided you with a list of those societies currently fully exempt from taxation. There is a copy of a proposed application form. This is basically a form used in BC. It seemed to fit our needs, so I did not reinvent the wheel. And the idea behind this is those currently receiving tax exemption, that exemption is in place for perpetuity. By bringing in an application process, it would give a council committee the option to look individually at each application, ensure that the organization is active and providing the service to the community. And there is still the option to provide full tax relief, or in some cases, perhaps it would be a partial exemption that is there as well. Thank you. I'm sorry, and administration is recommending an amendment to Bylaw 858, Schedule A, not-for-profit tax exemptions, to adopt a non-profit tax relief policy for nonprofit and charitable organizations and adopt a formal application and evaluating process as presented. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison. Mr. Mayor moves to approve the policy as presented. Do we have a seconder? Deputy Mayor, comments, questions, concerns from the floor? Go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I talked to Allison earlier today about how much I really like this. It's very well worded, and it gives a lot of options, and including full exemption. The only change that I saw, So on policy criteria, it states that at least two of the following requirements, A to M, the applicant must thing. I would suggest that we change N, which is demonstrate financial need, in that paying all or part of the assessed tax bill would be detrimental to the delivery of the program or services, be a mandatory addition. Other than that, they have to meet the other two, any other two. So basically three options every time. And that would be my only suggestion to change.
It's mandatory as worded there now. And must meet the following requirements: demonstrate financial need. It's two of A to M, and must meet demonstrate financial.
Sorry, yeah, that makes sense. I just read it differently. Yeah.
Councillor Stevens. Oh, Amy, go ahead.
I'm just going to ask Allison a question. I believe we had made a change, and I don't see it, but maybe it's here, to a maximum amount of taxation of exemptions for forgiveness. Is that part of this proposal still, or was it missed?
No. We talked about it. It's still showing as the options of 35 or 50%. I can amend it to put a maximum exemption on there if council wish.
I like having the option of full exemptions if council so chooses, but if you want more flexibility, go ahead, Amy.
The idea was to have a maximum amount annually for the city to forgive. Or to provide an exemption to a maximum amount of, say, 350 or whatever the number might be. No. 350,000 or whatever the number might be. That would be one option to consider.
Yes, apologies. That is not in there.
If we so choose, it can be in there by the time it makes it to council. Councillor Stevenson? Sorry, question button again. Still getting used to this.
Thank you, Chair. I think so. To Mayor Bell's point, I think they actually have to meet seven criteria. So two of the first eight or whatever they are, and then all of those N through S. I would like to see the default not be full exemption, that the default should be something far less than full exemption, and that a full exemption would only be under extenuating circumstances that council chooses. I don't think that there should be full exemption for anyone unless there's dire need for it. That's my personal opinion. I don't know how the rest of council feels. I'd like some clarification. I believe that you said that all of those that are currently exempt would be grandfathered into continuing exemption. If that's the case, I would prefer not. I think that they should all have to apply as well. I think we should, obviously you can't do that at this time for next tax year, because that's pretty short notice for them to have to. Maybe you can. I don't know. It's 4 months. But we should let them know within a timely manner where they have time to apply, and then everyone should be on the same page. I don't think that there should be a grandfathering. This is a place where we have been without policy for a long time, and the policy, lacking a policy, has been problematic. And I think we should address that and fix it across the board.
Go ahead, Mayor Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Councillor Stevenson. I did read that wrong. I read it as two of the following, A to M, A to M, N is after M. 100% my mistake. I wholeheartedly agree with you that we shouldn't be just grandfathering in the group. We should send out a notice. If this passes, a motion passes, we should send out a notice basically tomorrow, or I guess on next council meeting, actually, because this will be a recommendation to council. That we would be requiring an application for next year. And I like your change too.
Can we, as committee or potentially as council before this finally passes, flesh out the exemption levels a little bit more? Like Councillor Stevenson mentioned, the default should not be full exemption. To back that up, a little bit more fulsome policy over what constitutes and warrants full exemption versus what warrants a partial at various rates would be nice. It's a little vague right now and open to interpretation. It would be nice to have a document that future councils could just reference and know how to make a decision on based on what's passed today, as opposed to a different interpretation every 12 months when these issues get reviewed. But I don't know specifically what that policy should say myself. Go ahead, Councillor Kimberly.
Thank you. Maybe off the topic, but just for the record, it includes buildings or whatever on Inuit-owned lands, right?
Yes, improvements or buildings on Inuit-owned lands are taxed by the city. Cities still provide services, and so we tax them. And if the, those buildings or those organizations met the criteria, then they would also be eligible.
Any other comments or questions at this point? Councillor Nuttall.
Yeah.
Yes, good evening. For Inuit lands that are not being utilized. I kept insisting that as a board member with the city for them to keep paying taxes for those areas that are bare, we still pay taxes for that property. And city has never been acknowledged for these. Perhaps consider these, and that was presented earlier. Perhaps follow what was presented, and we will have to review every area for those areas that don't have any buildings on them, and for those buildings that are already erected. There are probably differences. I would like to review this portion. Thank you, Chairperson.
Much of that is in this policy, talking about some of the older buildings that are in there. So it's definitely going to be looked at as a part of this for sure. Mayor Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to add one thing that under P, it says applicant must not disparage or restrict others. An additional criteria, whatever it is, six, the property must not restrict based on race, culture, ethnic origin, religious belief, property ownership, unreasonable fees, or other membership. And I would like to see sexual orientation on there as well. And gender. Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
Go ahead, Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Chair. I believe that we talked about, when we originally talked about this policy, having more than a single year renewal. This may have just been in my head, I can't remember, but I think we did. This is 2 years here. At one point we had talked about longer too, though. I don't know. Are we satisfied? I honestly don't have an answer in my head even, but are we satisfied by every 2 years the map applying? Is that means,
Yeah, because I'm picturing the process as not being simple. I probably would be in support of 3 years as well, but 2 years maybe is good. I don't know. I'm thinking out loud as I go right now. But I just remember the conversation from our original meeting, Cal, when we talked about this, and I know that 5 years was thrown around first, and then we brought it down. I can't remember. I may have even argued for two at the time, but I am feeling like this might be difficult too, so I don't know. I just thought we'd highlight that while we're still discussing the policy.
If we were to implement a four-year term right now, at the end of this year, to implement starting January 1st, 2022, that would allow these renewals to come up at the midterm of every four-year council term. Give everybody, you know, as new councillors come on, 2 years to get acclimated and figure out, get their feet under them and make a decision on those renewals at the their second year. So I think for the amount of administration work that we're going to put on our staff and on the applicants here, I think a four-year term, new groups are going to be able to apply mid-year going forward. So it might even that out over time, but I'm not opposed to even a four-year term.
I like that idea, definitely. I think, though, that if new groups come on in the midterm, they'd have to come on to the cycle, so they might actually have to apply more than, you know what I mean, so that they get caught up at some point. If a new group comes on and they're a year away from when everyone else has to do it, they'd have to do it again in a year's time, unfortunately, for that one group, so that in the end, the majority of them would all come up to staff at the same time. So, again, mostly for staff, so that we wouldn't have to be always doing a whole bunch of different times as their four-year time comes up. That makes sense, I think.
Do we want to consider a maximum allowable amount that we can waive in any given year? I think right now, the total waived right now is $417,000 a year that we waive. Implementation of this policy should reduce that amount based on the partial exemption options that are going to be presented. Do we want to put a hard limit on the amount that can be exempted every year, realizing that our community is growing and there's likely to be more applicants in the future? Go ahead, Mayor Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that's a great idea, and I think I would be comfortable with $300,000 at this time. Reason being is the next council, if, you know, in 4 years from now, if they, you know, if the city booms and there's all of a sudden a whole bunch of new groups, they'll have the opportunity to make that change if they want to anyways. So 350 for 4 years, or 300 for the 4 years, I think it's per year, yes, would be comfortable, especially because, like you said, we have the partial tax break for some. And also there are a few people on the current tax break that don't operate at all. And shouldn't be paying taxes, absolutely. So they may never even apply because they're not currently in operation. So the 300 should be quite a bit. Thank you.
Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you. I'm just thinking procedurally, and certainly that could be put into the policy, but that's going to need to be in the bylaw. Are we repealing the bylaw? Or we're keeping the bylaw? I can't remember how the bylaw looks exactly. I know the schedule to the bylaws here. If I remember correctly, the bylaw is very simple. So that could be another schedule. So a schedule B to the bylaw would be the maximum allowable amount for any given year. And then other councils could modify it if the city grew and stuff like that. Because that number would have to be in the bylaw, I think, in the end. It couldn't just be in the policy. It shouldn't just be in the policy. It should be in the bylaw. So maybe as a schedule to bylaw 858, a second schedule that has that maximum amount, I think.
Just before I get to Mayor Bell, just one thing I've seen in a lot of other jurisdictions when a excuse me, when a municipality decides to support something, whether it be affordable housing or community groups, is that they set a specific percentage of their general revenues as opposed to a fixed hard cap. So that as your revenues grow, your support can continue to grow with that as well. I don't have our general tax revenue at hand right now to figure out what $300,000 would be as a percentage of that, but that would just provide a little bit more flexibility in things as it grows. What's that? Yeah, $22 million. We don't need the percentage right now. Yeah, 22 million. 22 million, approximately, in tax revenue. So if we wanted to, you know, we can figure this out. I don't know. I'll go to Mayor Bell for now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I like that idea. And now I forgot what we were talking about. You just talked about
the schedule to the bylaw.
Thank you. We will have to repeal Schedule A. So I think that the idea of making it a schedule for the maximum amount, which as a percentage probably fits well. That way we don't have to worry about changing it if needed. Because as we get bigger, the more tax we bring in, the more we would be allowed to forgive. I really like that idea.
Given the tax question, I would like to see it around 1.25% of our general tax revenues. It's going to be a little bit under 300,000 in the first year. I think that's going to be realistic and also allow that support that we provide to our community to grow. So we could say up to 1.25% of general tax revenue can be allocated to supporting exemptions for community groups, if that's amenable to the mover and seconder. Go ahead, Councillor Stevenson.
It's as long as someone double checks the math, make sure we're right before we go put it in the bylaw.
We will check it, I am sure. Councillor Nuttock. That was my fault. I pushed the wrong button. Sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. We have to review the exemption for tax. There are many organizations that function in the city. We have to also assess whether in Iqaluit, as it relates to a taxable community, and the city has the right to tax, and some of them can receive an exemption. Some services are required and would be affected if they would have to pay. So what we heard as well, that the government needs to be lobbied, because there's more than just Iqaluit, there's other communities in the territory that are also restricted by this legislation, not just Iqaluit, and they too are affected by this regulation, and whether we can pursue this and to support lobbying the Nunavut government. It seems twofold what we're talking about. We have to be aware of what the government is doing. They also provide the tax base. Are we doing the right thing when we make this decision? Mr. Chairman, that's what I wanted to mention. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Netta. For this specific issue where the city is waiving or discounting property tax on community groups and not-for-profit groups, we have full authority to do that. The government of Nunavut allows us to do that. It's in their legislation. We definitely have to lobby the federal government on other issues. But this one here, it's fully within our authority to provide tax relief to some community organizations the way we have in the past. We're just going to change how we do that in the future, I think, with this. Does that make sense? Good. Mayor Bell?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make note that the City of Iqaluit is the only city or town municipality in Nunavut that offers any tax exemption to anybody within their communities. We are, our tax exemption bylaw is the only one registered with the government in Nunavut. Every other place in Nunavut is charged taxes.
Thank you, Mayor Bell. And that is, of course, correct. Regarding the specific policy here, I did have one question and one comment on item S. The applicant or organization cannot be indebted to the city in any way, business license, fines, back taxes, etc. So would that be in relation to the entire organization as a whole, or just the operations or service related to the specific property that tax relief was being applied for? I'm just wondering what the intent of administration was there. Hang on 1 second. Let me give you the microphone. Go ahead.
It would relate to the property that the tax relief was being asked for.
Thank you. My last question is in regards to proving financial need. It would be nice to see a little bit more policy developed on how that can be done. Do we require accountant-prepared financial statements? Do we need their charitable filings or annual filings to corporate registries? I'm just wondering what, you know, if we have too vague of a policy there, we're just going to go off on, you know, a handwritten note saying, I promise that we have no money further down the road. I'd like to see a little bit more formalized structure on how to prove the financial need involved. That can be worked on between now and when this does come to council. I'm sure we can address it with some wording in there fairly simply, so it doesn't need to be rectified tonight. Councillor Awa?
I'm going to make sure what up.
Thank you, Chair. My question here is perhaps it could be an addition to this if it is approved.
English word. I think my question will be on the policy criteria. I'm going up from H to D and A. H, used by society incorporated under Society Act, except for any unit used as a resident. There's a wording for use as a resident. Letter D, approved as child care under Section 62. There's nothing here as use as resident, and there's use for church except land or unit use as a resident. Should we add on the D, the child care facility, and add use as a resident? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The governing Nunavut taxation law does not allow us to give any tax relief to a residence. So anywhere where somebody lives, except for shelters are treated a little bit differently. No residence qualifies as for tax exemption. You know, if we had a childcare facility with a adjacent or unit above it, maybe that does need to be included in there, or do we just assume that the governing legislation covers the fact that we can't do it? It is kind of strange to see that it's only mentioned in reference to a church and to no other organization when we can't exempt tax on the residence itself. So that might be something administration has to take away. That's a really good point. I don't know. Maybe we just leave the reference to residence out altogether because the governing legislation already forbids it. I'm not sure.
That's actually taken from the Property Assessment and Taxation Act, and that's exactly how it's worded in the exempt section 74.1. I don't believe we can change the wording of the Tax Act.
That makes sense. Taken straight from there. Any other comments or questions before we move this to a vote? Seeing none, I will call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimously carried. Thank you very much. We have two staff reports from Allison Drummond. First, regarding vacant property tax on housing units.
At the February 2nd meeting, staff were instructed to research the feasibility, or if it could be done, vacant property tax on housing units. This is here for council's reference. And the only thing in the conclusion that I do point out is that the onus to pay such a tax would lie with the property owner. And there are some large institutions who rent units and choose to keep them vacant. So it's something that possibly would be considered should council wish to adopt a vacancy property tax.
Thank you, Allison. Amy just has a little bit more to add, then we'll go to questions from council.
Just to add to that briefly, the concern there is that a property owner may lease to, say, a government entity, and you know, the property owner would be hit with that vacancy tax, yet it's the government entity that controls who lives there, the tenants, and if the unit is vacant or not. So we wanted you to be aware of that, because in Iqaluit it's a bit different than other places where the majority of the rental units are leased, entire buildings, you know, are often leased to government entities.
Mayor Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm glad to have this information brought forward. And of course, our government entities are one of the main problems, leaving empty units, rented empty units for some time. But our developers will put that in the contract. They'll say if you leave your empty unit, you know, six whatever the thing is, 60 days. And we get taxed the 2% or 1%, then you're going to be paying for that through your rent. Guaranteed, they're not, you know, the landlords aren't going to let the governments do this and swallow, you know, a couple thousand dollars every year because they feel like leaving the units empty. Sometimes the units are empty because of they're in various disarray of, you know, maintenance required. But this makes it you know, more important that they fix and maintain the properties as well, which is also good for the city. So, you know, although that is, you know, disheartening because I, you know, we were aiming at making sure that people are in units. I think that it still works in the long run. You know, I think next year their contracts that they sign would be much different based on this tax. So I still think we should proceed.
Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, I think it's good that Amy and the Mayor just spoke on this problem because, you know, the GN housing system is basically the main reason why property and rental prices are so inflated in this city. The government subsidy program absolutely destroys the free market and creates a scenario where there's no possibility for small businesses or individuals to come and find reasonable rent in this community. It's just not possible, and it's inflated by the fact that the GN both has so large a subsidy, but then also is keeping vacant apartments, which perpetuates that problem because it provides the landlords with a constant income at a rate that is not a fair rate, not a fair market rate. And you know, you can witness it if you ever try to rent on the free market. It is shocking
to anyone who does it. And I definitely speak from experience. I think that that Maribel was quite correct, that that cost will get passed on, and it should get passed on to those renters who, you know, like the government of Nunavut, who are the ones making those the empty apartments or keeping them empty, and will create a scenario where they have to change that or they'll have to pay.
I do agree. Actual development costs are certainly a part of the problem now as well. Part of the problem is it's hard to develop homes when the people you need to build the homes can't find a home. It's just a vicious cycle and a self-fulfilling prophecy over and over and over again. Costs remain high, so you can't build houses. Just, even fulfilling our own staff vacancies at the city has become nearly impossible, given the housing situation in town. So I definitely think something of this nature needs to be put in place. Councillor Kumulik.
I just want to mention the private sector, the banks, the IBC, the financial institutions, that we have a hard time borrowing from these institutions as well if we don't have a house and we don't have the collateral of owning a house. So that is something we should also be aware of.
Yeah, vicious cycle. If the bank says I cannot afford to pay $980 a month, I'll still continue to pay $1,400 for it.
Is there any motion that wants to be made regarding this issue, or are we just taking it as information at this point in time? Go ahead, Mayor Bell.
I'm just wondering if we need a motion. I mean, I think that this committee has asked for it. We brought back some information, which is important to learn, and I think that we should move forward and bring forward an actual bylaw to this council, to this committee, to recommend to council, and soon. Thanks.
So I would ask for a motion of this committee to recommend to council to instruct administration to develop a bylaw to implement a vacant unit tax. Mayor Bell moves. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Stevenson seconds. Any comments or questions to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor? Unanimously carried. Thank you. And finally, staff report, simple and compound interest. Allison, the floor is yours again.
Okay, thank you. Again, on February 2nd, staff were asked to find out if the words simple and compound, when it comes to referencing to charges on overdue accounts, if they were interchangeable. The bottom line is that they are not. When it comes to setting interest rates on overdue accounts, all reference material states that compound interest is to be applied to the overdue accounts. One question was, could we apply simple to some accounts and compound to others? Our accounting software, Microsoft Dynamics Great Plains version 2018, can only calculate one type of interest, and currently that is set to compound. Thank you.
Any comments or questions on that item? Councillor Awa, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, and thank you. I keep forgetting your name, I'm sorry. I was the one that initiated this review. And I know that we do searches now on the internet, and there are different rules related to finance issues. If there is a way we could do it. We could possibly look at it.
Councillor Nutter.
Yeah, when I...
Thank you. I'm not too aware of what I said, but I'm ready to move a motion that we are using the modern technology of cell phones today. It's very informative and adaptive. And people use their cell phones now in the daily functions and through the search on the internet. I just want to increase the knowledge and that this will not change as we move forward. What we didn't foresee in the past, we need to provide some context for financial issues. I'm talking about the phone. We spend money on the phone as well that we claim in my pocket. And I use the cell phone to function. I use money on it as well. That's how it is. We have to review carefully. Recently, the cell phone costs got reduced, was good. It's convenient as we communicate with each other. For example, you probably aren't too aware if you don't use one of these devices. They need more training.
Councillor, just quickly, I'm just not sure if we're something's lost in interpretation here, or if we're gone a little sideways. The issue is the interest rate that we charge on money people owe the city, and I think we're getting a little bit off topic. I just wonder if you want to bring it back to that, or if we can carry on.
And over 20 years I've been on the council, and the business community and the tenants owe us a lot of money, which the compound interest is growing on them, and they're aware. And we are aware that it exists, and that people that want to own their own home are agreeable when they sign the lease, and that they, or some tenants, are always paying what's required. When they initially wanted a home, they realize, you know, some of the costs that were there, there must be some sort of issue related to poverty and the cost of owning a home that they aren't meeting as part of the problem.
Thank you. Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Chair. I think just actually to follow up on what Councillor Nuttall was talking about is that this issue has come because there's so many properties that exist in this town that are overwhelmed by past overdue taxes that are then compounded by the interest, and to the point where the value of the taxation
that's owed, the value of the taxes that are owed are greater than the value of the house, and the house can't be sold. And, you know, I think I talked about six different properties in this same state today, and there's probably 20 of them. I don't really know. I do actually, though, think that we had asked, Mayor Bell had asked for a taking stock of those properties. I hadn't expected, I mean, it's a crossover between finance and planning, so I think it was actually in the planning that it was asked, planning department, and I think that it's coming. So I'd like to continue to talk about this at that point. I'm not sure whether, you know, the finance response, which was great, and the way you would expect finance to come back from a question about compound interest versus other types of interest, is fine, but it doesn't answer the root of the problem, which is these overwhelmed properties that either need to be, you know, our system needs to be changed going through the government of Nunavut so it somehow isn't compounding and somehow they're only owing the amount of tax that they actually accrued instead of the tax. And that would be a change that has been discussed and is possible. Or some other solution needs to be come up with so that we don't have all these vacant lots with houses that are overwhelmed by their tax debt. Sitting in various states of disarray because nobody can be bothered to buy them or can't afford to buy them or fix them. And, you know, that's the root problem that we as leaders need to come up with a solution for. And, you know, I appreciate the finance department's response to the question, and it's great, but it doesn't solve the root problem, which is what we need to get to, I think, is what Councillor Awa and Councillor Natuk were discussing.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe Councillor Awa's original, this has come up, we've talked about this before, even outside of official meetings, is whether or not we're able to make that change. Not necessarily defining simple versus compound, but are we allowed to change to simple interest? And there's nothing stopping us from doing it if we want to. I'm not sure that it's the right thing to do, not to say it's the wrong thing, but we are allowed to make that change if council so determines it. There's no question there. I do have you just after Mayor Bell. Just go ahead, Mayor Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Councillor Stevenson, because I was just going to say we are bringing a plan forward. COVID definitely slowed us down on that plan. Not only that, we're shorthanded in staff, but the situation we're in with our old taxes should never happen. Should have never happened. Should never happen again. We do need to fix it. This council has to fix it. I ran specifically on fixing our tax debt, and we are moving towards doing that. Now, I think that we should be compounding interest because we need a penalty to people not paying taxes. But that being said, right now, with the current tax that is owed, it's terrible, right? Because the city has allowed it to get way out of hand. You know, there's houses that owe us more money than they're worth. There's no way we're ever going to recover that money, so we have to fix it. But once we do fix that, I think that the compounded is a smart move. I believe we should stick with that and just fix the current problem and continue on with the compounded interest moving forward. Because, you know, years from now, 4 or 5 years from now, when people aren't going to owe us $700,000. They're not going to owe us $100,000. You know, we're going to start making moves to make sure that they pay us within a timely fashion. You know, letting people get to this place was bad for everybody, including the people that got there. So, you know, I just wanted to make that point. And I'm not sure, I know we have on October 12th council meeting, we have a fine repayment bylaw coming, fine and collection. Repayment bylaw coming, which will help us collect some of our fees, whether it be through, you know, there's going to be a multiple of ways we can collect those taxes and fees. But currently, right now, I mean, people know that they don't have to pay. Some people don't pay, and we have to stop that. So we are making those moves, and the current list that is already there, you'll see, I mean, it's still really high, but we did make a lot of movement on that this year. You know, I think we collect somewhere around $400,000 from that list. The compounded interest on the other ones made us, you know, completely high again. But we've collected a lot of money this year, and we should be proud of that. Staff should be proud that we collected that much money, especially during COVID. And we have a lot of work to do, but we will get there. I have full faith that we will get there, and I think that, you know, moving forward, this is a good idea.
Councilor Arwa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe wholeheartedly Mayor Bill, what she's doing with those interests owing to the city. But because of this, when it's mentioned here that it cannot be done because of the computer system, what I mentioned earlier, that computer system can be changed. We can buy a new system to be able to have this compound interest removed and use a simple interest. We can do that. Having said that, is that I did a little bit of homework, yes. Looking at the cities, Toronto, Ottawa, everywhere. I don't see any compound interest on theirs. And I don't believe they have any compound interest on their city interest rate. I want to know if there's any cities that have compound interest, except Iqaluit. So I support Mayor Bill collecting those interests that being accumulated over time. But I also wanted to change this to simple interest because of the reason is that when you are getting late, and if your interest is not going higher than what you have thinking, you can probably pay it faster way. We are not the city trying to make money out of the people, out of the businesses. Whether we are the city trying to keep the interest low because if we want to operate, even if we don't, if we do have a simple interest, we consider operate. What we want to do is that to keep the resident pay their taxes. If the resident pay their taxes timely, we don't need the interest. So, but to in order for us to be on the safe side, we still need the interest. But I need, but I believe that compound interest is not the way. Compound interest would make more business or the homeowners to say, "Oh, my interest is getting too high. I can't afford it anymore." So, I would like to get back to this. To the staff that they would look into this to how to change the simple interest. Thank you, Chair.
Is that a motion, Councillor Arwa?
Yes.
Is there a seconder to that motion? Councillor Kumalik, any comments or questions? Mayor Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Councillor Arwa. I don't think we need a motion to look into this. I think we can make a motion to do it because the report says that it currently uses simple, but it can be compound. Sorry, it currently uses compound, but it can be simple. It's just that it can only do one at a time. And again, I've said, you know, I think that compounded interest is important. But you make very good points. You know, we aren't here to make money off the people losing, losing money or not being able to afford their taxes for, 1 year, maybe 2 years. They still have to pay some sort of fee, which would be the simple thing. I get both points. I don't know if you make the motion to change it right now, I don't know how I'll vote, but I understand where you're coming from. So I think that you should just change your motion respectfully to change it if you want to, because the system is allowed to do either. Instead of researching it,
I think we'd want to see a lot more work on the impact of that decision, and some research on what other jurisdictions do before council as a whole makes a final decision on whether or not to make that change. I would prefer to see the motion stand as it is to prepare a report on the impacts of making that change. We know we can do it if we want to, but I'd like to, I've got some concerns. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is another, one of the, I guess, methods to solve this issue. There's about 10 properties on the arrears list that was published in the paper this summer that are over the $100,000 mark. There is a method through the courts to set an interest rate at a lower rate that can be done. So this is one of the things that we're looking into to start dealing with this. So I just want to let you know that those things are coming. We're looking into that. And that was done, we did find that was done, you know, I think it was like 25 plus years ago that there were court processes that took place, and I can't remember the name of it right now, to set some of these rates at a lower interest rate at properties that were very high. And so I just wanted to let you know that, and these are some of the things that we are working on.
We should also keep in mind that any proposed change will have no effect on any money that's already owed to us. It's only bills that go late starting the day after that change comes into effect. At the same time, compound interest is the standard across the country. Every community in Ontario, it's like territorial or the provincial legislation kind of passes down the taxation rules. Compound interest is the standard that's used for monies owing pretty much across the country. At the same time, it's often not an issue because if your property tax is a year late, they send you a notice, paid in full, or we're auctioning your house. There's no forgiveness. There's no leniency with property tax anywhere else in the country like there is or has been in Iqaluit. In Yellowknife, if your property taxes are a year late, you get a notice that if you don't pay in 2 weeks, they're auctioning your house off. They will sell your house out from underneath you. And that's tough love, but that's how property taxes are managed elsewhere across the country. So we've been incredibly lenient. The compound interest is unfortunate because previous administrations and councils let it get to that point back in the day. I think good policy, good collections right now, along with good collection policies to prevent those same issues from going on in the future, is the best solution for this problem. My 2 cents. Councillor Kumalik.
Thank you. What I support Mr. Awa's motion and that he surveyed other cities to include in the report what happens in other cities to review what their policies are. Even Whitehorse, thank you.
I'm pretty sure administration can take that as a part of the motion without needing to change the motion. It's definitely important information to have in a report when it does come. Any other comments or questions to the motion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you very much. Motion to adjourn. Councillor Stevenson, seconded by Mayor Bell. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening.
Thank you, sir.